Father, as always, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We pray that that light will shine in our hearts this morning from the word of God. And let everyone be blessed and the Lord be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, let's get to it. The promises of God for guiding and leading us. You know, that's our lesson today. And like I said, many promises. What does guiding and leading mean? Well, it encompasses everything that we need in life. Guiding can be instruction. It can also mean, you know, the way that the Lord will lead you either to something or away from something. You know, one time Jesus, the disciples came and said, teach us to pray. Well, and in his prayer, he said, Lord, lead us not into temptation, or rather lead us away from temptation. So, you know, when the Lord sends his angel with you to keep you in the way, it's for protection, but it's also to keep you, move you this way or move you that way, away from one thing or another that could have been harmful or lead you to regret. The Lord can do that and protect us from that. So, you know, the guidance of the Holy Spirit is so critical in our lives. Now, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, trying to prepare their hearts for the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit will come, there were many things that he said that the Holy Spirit will do. You know, here's one of the things he said in John 14 and 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. So, you know, teaching you in the right way is also guiding and leading. I mean, leaders are supposed to also be teachers and vice versa. Teachers should be leaders. You lead by example. You know, so the Holy Spirit comes to, I mean, he's our comforter, but he's our teacher. And he will also bring to our remembrance. So, and that scripture right there indicates that we cannot just hear something just once or read it just once. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit said he will bring it back to your remembrance. So it's good for us to meditate on the things which the Lord already told us or things which we already know from the scriptures. Let's read some more things that the Holy Spirit will do for us when he comes. That was John 14, 26. There's also John 15, 26. Those are easy scriptures to remember. Both of them in verse 26. And here's another thing that he says that the Holy Spirit will do. He said, when the Comforter is come, right, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. You know, now, so the testimony of Jesus with the Holy Spirit will show us is part of the role of the Spirit of God in our lives. And when he's testifying of that truth, Jesus said, well, when you know the truth that you know is what can make you free. So, Holy Spirit will show us this and will guide us, will lead us into all truth. And in case you haven't noticed, John 14, 26, this is just a bit of a digression, but John 14, 26 and John 15, 26, they also silently reveal a great secret and a great mystery about who Christ is with respect to his role as the Christ and what his relationship with the Father is. There's a deep secret revealed here, because in John 14, 26, he said, the Holy Spirit, whom, you know, the Father will send. And here he says, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send from the Father. So either way you look at it, are those two things conflicting? Absolutely not. Whether it's the Father that will send or the Lord Jesus that will send from the Father, it's all the same. It also shows you how closely embedded the Son is with the Father. It's almost impossible to separate the Son from the Father. You know, in fact, Jesus said the same thing. If you receive the Son, then you have the Father. But if you have not the Son, then you don't have the Father. You know, so, and sometimes Jesus will say things like, you know, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Sometimes he will also say, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will do it. I mean, so many times it's like, okay, you know, are you talking about us asking the Father, or are we talking about us asking you? Which one is it? That's why Philip himself said the same thing finally in John 14. And it's like, look, I mean, this business about you and the Father all the time, just tell us already. Show us the Father and everything will be cool. And of course, have you not yet known me all this time that I've been with you, Philip, and yet you don't know me? You know, why are you asking to see the Father when you've already seen me? Don't you know and believe and understand that I am in the Father and the Father in me? You know, so when we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, or we pray in the name of Jesus, it's all the same. You know, in the name also means the authority that he has given us. Hallelujah. It's like Christ has given us the power of attorney to use his name. Glory to God. All right. Well, that's by the way. But these lessons, the scriptures that we're going to give today, it's a part of how the work of the Holy Spirit in our life to guide us, to teach us, to show us all things. Also, John chapter 16 and verse 13. I love this one, you know. And, but before I read verse 16, let me read verse 7 of John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. You know, because if I go not away, this comforter I've been telling you about, he cannot come. Why? You know, why can the comforter not come while Jesus was there? Well, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Why could the comforter not come? Ponder about that for a minute. You know. Because, you know, sometimes in our minds we want to slice and dice, you know, the Godhead, but you can't do it. The Comforter could not come at that time because Jesus had the Spirit of God, not by measure. You can read that in John chapter 3, you know, and verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, and God giveth not the Spirit to him by measure. He did not have 99% of the Holy Spirit. You know, he had the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's nothing else anywhere. You know, so, but when he left, now He can share that Holy Spirit upon all of us. And we can have a portion here, a portion there. Millions and billions of people can receive the Holy Spirit now. You know, that's amazing. Now, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ bodily, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness, not part of it. It's not the second person or the last person. It's the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily. Now, that also means that we are complete in him. And he is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. Well, why the Holy Spirit made me say all of that, I don't know. Because that was not my lesson. But, you know, we speak as he directs. Did you know, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, the scripture says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, well, let him minister according to the ability which God giveth. So, you know, when we yield ourselves to speak for the Lord, you never know what the Lord is going to say. But the oracles of God means also we're not apologetic about the things we say. You know what you're saying, and you say it with authority, and the Holy Spirit backs it up. Now, getting to today's promises. First one I want to say is Exodus 33 and 14. This is a powerful promise. At first, when you read it, it looks like it's only for protection, but no, it's everything. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Well, the way that the Lord gives us rest, rest from our troubles, rest from our burdens, and also he will give you instruction. That's all loaded in that rest. Confidence that God goes with us. Now, of course, over last week when we were dealing with understanding, I gave you the scripture in Job 32 and 8. And also Psalm 32 and 8. Those are also part of how God leads you. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. That's Job 32 and 8. How about Psalm 32 and 8? I will lead you in the way that you should go. And I will guide you with my eye. Now, those are powerful promises, you know, that the Lord, you know, promised us. Psalm 31, verses 3 and 4. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Hallelujah. And pull me out of the net that they have laid secretly for me. Isn't that powerful? You know, that's guidance. It sounds like protection, but it's also guiding. The Lord guiding you. He knows where they've set traps, and he knows how to cause you to escape. You know, anytime you're trying to, catch a bird, you know, and you're setting the, trap. You set this trap in front of the bird. Then the bird can see you, and he will escape because he saw what you are doing. And that's the same way for the Lord, because the Lord's eagle eye has seen it all. And no matter where the trap is, God has seen it, and he will cause you to escape. And that's something that we really need to trust the Lord about. Proverbs chapter 1, and verse 17. Surely in vain is the net set in the sight of any bird. You know, the Lord has said it. So they can set that trap, but he'll guide you, he'll lead you, he'll direct you, and he'll instruct you away from that evil. Praise the Lord. Now, reading some more of these promises. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust thou also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, your ways, where you go, what you do, how you do it, the Lord will bring it to pass. The same Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delighted in his way. He order your steps. Order my steps aright. The psalmist prayed. The Lord will order your steps. You know, inside of these lessons, there's also instruction, strategy, and everything that the Lord will give you, so that we don't falter and make errors that can set us back. Psalm 73 and verse 34. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Isn't that beautiful? My goodness. You know, learn that verse. It's a beautiful one. If you've never known it, claim it for yourself daily. Not only will the Lord guide you here upon the earth, my. He will also, even afterwards, you know, receive you to glory. Praise the Lord. So we need to learn these promises of God to assure ourselves in this journey. Praise the Lord. The journey that we are in, it can be precarious at times, but the Lord will lead us and guide us through it. Psalm 73, verse 24. I think I said 34, but I meant 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven beside you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. You know, it's amazing sometimes the way these psalmists used to write these things. The Lord will not only guide you here with his counsel, but also receive you into glory. That's a beautiful, beautiful verse to learn. Now, again, that's verse 24, not 34. That's 73, Psalm 73. And verse 24. Okay, what about this one? Psalm 119 and verse 109. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means, you know, you will not stand in darkness, neither will you stumble when you go, because you can see clearly through the word of God. And you know, there is something amazing that Jesus said, you know, that I'm going to read to you right now about how the light of God walks. You know, as you know, I always talk about, that light all the time, the light that we have, and so on and so forth. You know, now Jesus, he was talking about the light that we will have when we are in him. And it's a wonderful way to realize the way he puts it in John chapter 11, you know, and let's look at verses 9 and 10. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he will stumble not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in night, stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Isn't that a strange way to say that, but think about it. If everybody can see the light of day when it is daytime, you don't need any inspiration to see the light of day. It's the light of day. The sun is out. Everybody can see, you know, because the light is out. The sun is out. However, when it is dark, now, the way Jesus put it here is an amazing revelation. He said, you stumble because there is no light in you. He said, the man will stumble not because there is no light around him, but because there is no light in him. And so this light is beyond the one that's around. It's beyond the one that the sun gives to everybody and everybody can see light. You know, but it is a light that is on the inside, which nobody can take from you. Whether it's light on the outside or not, you know, nobody can really take that one that's on the inside. And the person that stumbles when there is no light around, they stumble because there's no light on the inside. Isn't that amazing? But if you have light on the inside, you know, then my goodness, you will never stumble because you have light. Listen to Psalm 36 and verse 9. For with you, O Lord, you know, is a fountain of life. In thy light, said, we will see light. You know, and that's how you do it. You can't do it any other way. You know, it's not the light that this world has is not good enough. It's too dim. You know, it only works when during the daytime, but it cannot work during the dark hours. And there is coming a time of darkness that's coming upon this world. It's a gross darkness cover the whole world. But the glory of the Lord and the light of the Lord will be upon you and in you and through you will it shine. That's right. So let's think about it. You know, let the light of the Lord shine in you and through you. For with thee, O Lord, is the fountain of life. Glory to God. The light of life is in you. Then you will see light. In thy light shall we see light. Now, light is something that gives understanding as well. It gives instruction. It illuminates your mind. It's like inspiration. We covered that last week. You know, so here's another one. Psalm 121. In fact, the whole of Psalm 121 is so rich for God's guidance. You know, sometimes it looks like it's just protection, but I'm talking about guiding and leading you today because we need it in the days that we are in. But let me read just one verse out of that psalm. You know, it says, in verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. It's protection, but it's also guidance. You know, he'll preserve you from evil, will guide you away from the evil. He will lead you in the way that you should go and the way that you should not go. It's all part of guidance and it's all part of instruction. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, of course, verses 3-5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. He shall lead you, you know, direct your paths. You know, how many of you have seen those trains when they get to certain places and they change tracks? You can actually make a train go in another direction by switching the tracks. You just switch the tracks. you know, switch the tracks. Trains going this way, it's headed that way, but somebody goes ahead of there and you know, they have some, you know, mechanism there that can switch the tracks. And the train can go this way instead of that way because someone switched the tracks. And he said, look, and they can even do that. In the olden days, they used to do it manually. But they've got computer technology now that can switch those tracks electronically. You know, and, but the Lord said, look, I will direct your paths. You know, I will switch those paths for you. When you're going this way and I want you to go the other way, I'll switch it. Now we got to believe the Lord for this. You know, I mean, just believe the Lord absolutely. I mean, it's like irrevocably turn over your life to Him and just let Him do. You know, and I know that, look, even when I'm going this way, this is a powerful, powerful thing. If I'm going this way and I'm about to go in the wrong direction, the Lord can switch my tracks. Praise the Lord. It's powerful when you get that revelation. Can switch your tracks, just like that train. It'll just switch you. You would have gone in this way, but it'll switch you this way because you're trusting the Lord to do it. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 tell you the same thing. I mean, you can make all these plans, but you need to trust the Lord to direct your steps. See, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Hallelujah. You know, so, I mean, this should be part of our prayer recipe all the time. Say, Lord, direct my steps. Direct my paths. You know, and God doesn't always have to tell you that He's doing it, but you trust Him that He'll do it. He may not share the knowledge with, He may and He may not. You know, sometimes He will by telling you, do this, do that, go here, go there, go no. But sometimes He doesn't. He just does it, you know. And when we pray and trust Him to do it and lean on Him to do it, He will do it. And look, even when I don't know the right choice to make, but because I acknowledge Him, I say, Lord, guide my steps. Lead me in the way that I should go. Direct my paths. He can switch those tracks. Praise God. And the Lord will make sure that you go in the correct way according to the Spirit of the Lord. You know, doesn't He say in Isaiah 30 and verse 21? That you will hear behind you a word that says this is the way. When you're about to turn to the right or the left, He'll tell you which way to go. And sometimes He may not tell you, but He will switch your tracks. So between you hearing His voice and you giving Him permission to switch it, you're covered. I mean, you are so covered. Say, Lord, when I hear you plainly, give me the grace to obey. And even when I don't hear you, well, I give you permission to switch my tracks. It's that simple. If you can pray like that, then you got it covered. You know, one time the Lord taught me how to pray on some things when I'm trying to make some really, you know, important decisions. And it could be a binary decision of yes and no, but it could be a really serious decision. Do I go this way or do I go that way? Do I do this thing or not? And it could be something serious, something really very serious that you can need to do. You may be trying to make a career move, or you may be trying to decide whether to marry this person or not. I mean, those are serious decisions that can have life-changing consequences. But it's a binary choice. It's either you go this way or that way. It's either you say yes or no. You know. But how do you do it? How do you know? I mean, the chance of making an error is 50%. It's a very high chance. You know, because it's just this or that. So, but how do you do it? Well, here's a prayer that the Lord taught me one time. And I've used it many times when it comes to making these kind of, you know, heavy decisions. You know, it's like, Lord, and I just pray simply, Lord, if it be your will, then prosper this thing. But if that's not the direction I should go, then block it. I give you permission to block it. No matter how much I want it, block it, Lord. And the Lord has done it. It worked for me all the time. When I'm at crossroads, even in ministry, making decisions like that, you know. And I'll drop in a quick testimony here, because it goes right in line with this. Many years ago, we were on the crossroads of making the decision of starting GMI Church. A couple of partners with me. And we're praying then, well, should we just be doing this thing like a house fellowship? Or should we do it like a ministry? Or should we do it like a church? Now, the filing paperwork for church is the most difficult of all of these non-profits, because it carries a lot of benefits and also a lot of requirements. You can do ministry. You don't have to be a church. You can be a non-profit. You can have a non-profit ministry out of your garage. And you can still have 501c3 for it. But when it comes to church, in fact, I picked up, this was years ago, I picked up the form, you know, that you were supposed to fill out. It was like 39 pages. I mean, it was even overwhelming. What kind of world do I do this? You know, and, you know, after many weeks of prayer and fasting and different things like that, with my partners, then finally we said, okay, well, and I took these forms in this same office that I'm sitting in right now, laid these forms on the chair, knelt down and said, Lord, if it be your will that we go this way and prosper this thing, and if not, block it. And it's that simple. And, you know, I think I heard, you know, one of our sisters gave a testimony the other day when they were filing 501c3, and it reminded me of this thing. And I said, and then we even hired an organization who based their reputation on helping you to get your 501c3. And their track record is, we always get it for you. We never lose. I said, oh, that sounds good. And then they said, well, it may take 9 months. You may go back and forth. They may send you this, you may have to provide more information and back and forth and so on, especially when it's church. It's a lot of stuff. Yeah, but he said, eventually, we'll get it for you. Don't worry about it. I said, cool. You know, and then after they gave some instructions back and forth, you still have to send it in.
Can't hear you, Pastor. Pastor, we're not hearing you anymore. Is anyone else hearing, or is it just me?
Yeah, there's nobody. I'm not hearing it myself.
Okay. Mommy, I will talk.
only their own form that was so many pages, but all the evidence and many other stuff.
Welcome back, Pastor.
Hello?
Welcome back, Pastor.
We didn't hear you for quite a while, Pastor.
Can you still hear me?
We can hear you now.
I don't know what happened. I'm still right here. So anyway, I was giving this testimony of if you pray and ask the Lord to prosper or block the thing, that's a binary decision that you can make. Did you hear that part? Did anybody hear that part?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So when I sent in this paperwork, I went in and picked up a mail about 2 weeks later, and a very small letter. It seemed like just one page. It wasn't one page. It was a letter, but I couldn't even open it because I thought, this would be what was it? You know, what are they sending? Are they sending it back? Or, because I never got the acknowledgement. And then when I opened it, trying to read it out of one eye, what are they going to say? The letter said, first word said, we are pleased to inform you that blah, 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 blah has been approved. I said, you got to be kidding me. You know, and I called even the company that promised, heaven and earth to help you get this form approved and that they never failed before. And I said, guess what? And there was just about 2 weeks that had passed. I received something in the mail. Said, you got your receipt? I said, no. I got the approval. And he said, it's impossible. I said, I'm looking right at it. He said, fax me a copy or send me a copy so I can see it. He said, it's impossible. I said, I'm looking right at it. And he said, it will take about 8 or 9 months. It took less than 3 weeks. Because, why? The Lord showed me how to pray this prayer sincerely. Guide my steps, direct it, or block it, or switch it, if that's not the way you want it to go. So something that could have taken 9 months took less than 3 weeks. And the giants that said they've done this thing thousands of times said they've never seen it like that. So, I got it right in my hand. And the Lord, he did it. And so, why am I saying this? I say to let you know that, look, when it comes to this, guide my steps, lead my ways, trust the Lord completely, unreservedly, and he will never fail you. Here's another one in Isaiah 58 and verse 11. Say, the Lord will guide you continually. Remember, we're talking about guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord will guide you continually. And this one comes out of, the other day we dealt with the Day Spring and Day Star visiting us. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 79. That incredible prayer in Luke chapter 1. Let's just read one verse out of it. Luke chapter 1, let me pull up verse 79 here. It says, and this is a long prayer that Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was praying after the child was born. And he said, look, what the Lord has spoken by the mouth of his prophets since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and so forth, in the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him with fear, in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And he goes on and say, thou child shall be the prophet of the highest, and so on and so forth. Lord will send you forth to go before his ways, prepare his ways, give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins, you know, through the tender mercy of God. Now listen to this. Whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and those that are in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. It's a powerful thing. The Lord will guide your feet away from the place of trouble, but he will guide your feet into the way of peace. This is so powerful. And if you can latch on to any of these promises, use these things in your prayers. You know, they are so powerful. John 16:13, which I alluded to before, I'm not sure if I actually read it. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. Now, things to come, I think I've spoken on this before. That's another way that you can, you know, elevate your prayer faith level. The Holy Spirit can show you something to come that you are believing for. He'll show it to you. And you can, once you see it, you latch onto it. That's what Jesus said. The Son can only do what the Father shows him. You know, the Father shows him and then he does it. Doesn't do anything the Father didn't show him. You know, there's a way that the Holy Spirit can show you things to come. Can reveal something to you by faith. You see it. You know? You just see it. And because you saw it, well, that's it. That settles it. Because the Holy Spirit, he showed it to you. And you latch onto it. You agree with it. It's a done deal. Powerful, powerful stuff. Now, let me summarize what I'm doing here today. Just giving us some scriptures about God's promises, guidance, and more. In our daily lives, small decisions, big decisions, Holy Spirit is there for them all. But practice his presence and his guidance, even in the small things, you know, so that you can learn even the bigger things. And sometimes the Holy Spirit may tell you something that's silly, you know. I've shared this with people before. You know, the Holy Spirit may tell you something that sounds silly to you, but he's just trying to train you. I mean, what might be a silly thing? Well, for instance, I'm in my closet trying to pick out my shirt that I'm going to wear. And I pick the white one. The Holy Spirit says, wear the blue one. You know, come on. That may sound silly. You know, what does it matter if I wear the white or I wear the blue? You should have no consequence at all. I can wear the white if I want, wear the blue, you know, but by practicing the presence of the Lord, even in things that seem silly, the Holy Spirit can trust you with more. And the reason he can tell you that is because on the other side, somewhere where you're going that day, you never know. The Holy Spirit already said, yeah, this man will be coming wearing a blue shirt, you know, and you didn't know anything about it, you know, but when he told you that thing, it sounded silly. But if you go along with it, then you are aligned with God's purpose, because it's going to be a sign to somebody else that you know nothing about. But it's a small practice for you too. God's getting two out of one. He's teaching you some lessons to improve hearing from him. But at the same time, he's using a simple act, you know, that you do on your own and confirm something with somebody else. You never know what God is doing. You know, so let's practice his presence. Practice his leading. Go into the store, you know, talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk back to you. Should I do this? Should I not do that? I mean, it may sound silly because, look, I mean, who cares whether you wear a white shirt or blue shirt, yellow shoes or brown shoes. Well, who cares? It's not going to get you saved or lost. But that's why I say it may sound silly. But nothing is silly from the Holy Spirit. He knows exactly what he's doing. He may be instructing you and training you and teaching you. And if God can't test you with little things or trust you with little things, how's he going to trust you with bigger things? He that is faithful in little is the one that will be faithful in much. So when the Holy Spirit tries to test you or trust you with little things, and if you don't comply with allowing him to lead you, how is he going to lead you in the big things? The same thing also works in when we are trying to gain knowledge of the Holy Spirit and learning decisions. You know, if the first time that you're going to learn how the Lord is leading you is when you are going to make the biggest decision in your life, you know, other than, you know, giving your life to Christ, maybe it's who you're going to marry, you know, things like that. If you never learn how to hear from the Lord and how the Lord's leading you, and you try to use that as your first time hearing from God, you are going to likely make a mistake because you haven't learned it. You know, so don't wait until that biggest decision you need to make to figure out how to learn his leading and his guiding. Practice him every day in little things, and then you'll know his voice. You know, there was a man, you know, called Gideon in the Bible. We spoke about him last week when I was talking about him not being satisfied with the status quo. But he didn't know the voice of God. So when the angel told him, thou man of valor and so forth, the Lord will be with you and all that. And he said, well, if the Lord be with me and so forth, you know, well, if I know it's you, then let this be and let that be. I'm going to take this piece of fleece like a cutting wool or something, sponge, it's really. I'm going to put it over here overnight. And when I wake up in the morning, let it be that only the sponge will be wet and all the dry, all the ground around it will be dry. And so he went and it was so when he woke up the next morning, the sponge was wet and all the ground around it was dry and said, okay, well, that was easy. Maybe the sponge soaked up the water. Say, okay, well, let's do it the other way. And the Lord was, you know, patient with him. He said, well, okay, you know, that one was easy. Let's do it the other way. Let all the ground around it be wet, I mean soaking wet, and let the sponge be dry. Then I'll know that it is the voice of the Lord. And the Lord did it. And then so finally, he figured out that it was the voice of the Lord. And, you know, it took him a little ways to figure it out. But after that, we never heard again that any such thing happened. From there on, and the Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Gideon. Now he's figured it out. Same thing with Samuel. In the beginning, he couldn't figure it out. But he had to practice, and somebody even helped him. Eli helped him. Said, look, the next time you hear that and you think it's me calling you, no, it's not me. You say such and such. And it is the Lord calling you. First time he ran to Eli, thought it was Eli. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Second time, third time. Finally, the old man said, oh, look, it's got to be the Lord calling you. Here's what you do. And he gave him some instruction. And then from that point on, once Samuel figured it out, that it was God that was talking to him, from that point on, it was like, and the Lord said to Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel. So, you know, sometimes we need some practice. Sometimes we need some training. Sometimes we need some help. Sometimes we need some coaching. But whatever it is, when you practice and figure out how the Lord's leading you and use these scriptures, they can be so powerful. So I'm going to use some of these scriptures today to pray for us. You know, there's a few, several I gave, but let's just use a few to pray. Number one, his presence shall go with you. So the Lord said, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. When the presence of the Lord is going with you, it's not only for protection, it's also for guidance. He will not let you stumble, will not let you make, you know, it's like a guide. Do you know when you take a tour, a guide will guide you and so forth. You know, you take a tour through the, you know, some places where you don't know. and the guide will guide you. So the presence of the Lord is to guide you. It's not only to protect, but to guide you, you know, and so you won't have to go round and round in circles and do something many times over before you get it right. He'll guide you, you get it right first time. So Father, I pray, Lord, for everyone that's in the room today listening to these powerful promises, that the presence of the Lord will go with us to guide us every day. Hallelujah. And to get us there quickly. That's right. So we are not wandering around the wilderness. Get you there quickly. Praise the Lord. And thereby give you rest. Now, here's another one. Inspiration of the Almighty to give you understanding. We prayed for that already last week, but I'll pray it again today, that the Lord will give us an ear and the spirit to incline to his leading. He said, the Lord will lighten his, you know, my candle. Light a candle in us, O God. Give us understanding and inspiration by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's this one, Lord, that says, the Lord will order our steps. I pray, Lord, that you order the steps of everyone that's in here. And I pray, you pray along with me. And, you know, give the Lord the permission to do that. You know, because, you know, heaven needs permission. That may sound strange, but that's it. Heaven needs permission to do some things for you. But when you tell the Lord, you got this, do it. Interrupt my day anytime. Lord, you may interrupt my plans. You may switch my tracks if I'm going down, you know, a path that may lead to destruction or that may lead to regret. Lord, I give you permission to switch the tracks. Hallelujah. And I wish and I pray that everyone in this room, and I encourage you to pray that prayer right now. It's one of the most powerful things you can do. To give the Lord irrevocable permission to direct your paths. Switch the tracks. If he sees that you're about to go this way or that way and it's the wrong way, give him permission to do it. Sometimes he'll tell you and you'll hear. But even when I don't hear, Lord, I give you permission to order my steps. And switch the tracks. That I may go in the way that you have chosen for me. Even if I was about to make a blunder. Prevent it, Lord. Block it if that's not the way that you want me to go. But if that's the way, Lord, then prosper it in Jesus' name. Amen. And here is a powerful, powerful one. He said, the Lord will guide me with his counsel, understanding, and so forth. And then afterward, he will receive me into glory. Woo-hoo. Lord God Almighty, we are all looking forward to being received into glory. And none of us want to be absent or miss it when the Lord says, come up hither. Lord, I pray there's anything in our lives, in my life, the life of my brethren, that may prevent us from making the first flight. That's right. You know, my wife's been talking about that, making the first flight. You know, anything that will prevent us from that, Lord, take it away from us. Show us the way that we should go. Direct our paths. And afterward, receive us into glory. Praise the Lord. Let your word, O Lord, be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, that we see clearly and we will not stumble nor walk in darkness. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, even as I make my plans, Proverbs chapter 6 verse 9 say, you may make your plans, but the Lord is the one that's going to direct your steps. Lord, as I make my plans, I pray that you direct my steps. And sometimes we got to make our plans. We can't just sit around. I mean, it's good to wait on the Lord and wait for him to show you step by step. But I guarantee you, not every time he'll show you step by step. Sometimes you just have to trust him. Sometimes he'll only give you one instruction out of 100. You got to take that first instruction first, then he'll tell you the next one. He may not tell you everything all at once. For when I called Abraham to go into a place where he should afterward receive for an inheritance, and he knew not. And I did not tell him, the Lord said, but he trusted the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's trust the Lord with all our heart. And the Lord, he will direct our steps. And let's not always make all our plans and tell the Lord to bless it. Now that's a good way, but not the best way. Behold, I show you a more excellent way. Is to lean upon him for his own will. Give him the permission to show you the way to go. And if for whatever reason you're not able to see clearly, give him permission to direct your steps. Switch the tracks if he needs to. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, guide me. Guide my feet into the way of peace. It says in Luke 1:79. I pray that you guide us into the way of peace. I pray that the Holy Spirit that we now have, because if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. The Spirit of God, which we now have, I pray, Lord, that he will lead me into all truth. Now, you are praying this prayer with me as I'm praying along. I hope you are. I pray that the Spirit of truth, he will guide me into all truth. The word of God that I study and read, let it be a light unto me, lamp to my path where I'm standing, light in front of me, that I will not walk in darkness nor stumble. I pray, Lord, not my own will, but thine be done. Commit thy way unto the Lord, he said, trust thou also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Acknowledge him in all your ways, he shall direct thy paths. Lord, as I acknowledge you today, as I'm about to embark on this day, every one of us, you pray that in the morning. I embark on this day, Lord. You know the end of this day. I don't. And it's like walking through a field that's loaded with mines. The Lord knows where those landmines are. And he can guide you to avoid them. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Well, sometimes, Lord, I can't see because I'm blinded by whatever. Blinded by my own reasoning. Blinded sometimes by my selfish desire. Blinded for whatever reason or by whatever means. I'm blinded and I can't see. But Lord, you can see. The eye of the eagle has seen the traps that the enemy has set along the way. And cause me, Lord, to be clean escaped in the name of Jesus. Now, these prayers that I pray today, I pray for myself and everyone that's in this room, that the Lord will guide us continually in the name of Jesus. The guidance and the leading of the Lord would save us time. It's called the Redeemer. Instead of 40 years beating around the bush, get you there rapidly. It's called a quantum leap because he's guiding you and he's leading you. And Lord, we believe you, Lord, that this year we will not waste time going round and round in circles. We're trusting you for your leading and your guiding. To be precise, hallelujah, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. From where you are to where you need to be. A straight line. Not meandering around and, you know, wasting our life and our time. The Holy Spirit who will guide our path. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this short Bible study today. May we incline our hearts to this and even these scriptures that we have heard and read today. And may the Lord help everyone guide us continually. And as you praise the Lord in confidence, The hand of the Lord will be upon your head, upon your back. Will guide you, will satisfy you. Hallelujah. And you, in his light, you will see light. Lord, I pray that in thy light, the light that comes from your word, may I see light. The light that comes from the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit, wherein he said, arise and shine, for thy light is come. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. In that light, may we see light. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen.